assistance.
I finally got it turned on that I ripped the earpiece
or the mic out.
Okay. Okay, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to catch up on what we've talked about the last couple of weeks. If I can get my slides going. Oh, just a minute. Yeah, my thing's not. It's one of those nights. Do I have to point it at the machine, or? Oh. There. Gosh. I'm pointing on the pointer. There we go. Okay, that's about where we left off last week. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer and then we'll get started. We need some prayer tonight, especially for me and the AV, the technical things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Lord, Father God, we're just thankful for this time to come together this evening, Lord, and just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. And God, just pray that you be with us. And this is, I know you've concealed some awesome things in your word, and I just pray as the kings that you've made us, Lord, that we'll go through and search out these matters, and Lord, that you would just give us understanding, because these things just make your word just absolutely come alive. But more than that, Lord, we can just completely see where we are in this day and time from the feast and other things that you've given us in your word. So I just pray you help us to understand these things and just bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I gave you, when we first started this study 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, I gave you three verses. Does anybody remember what those three verses are? Proverbs 25:2. So what's just the gist of Proverbs 25:2? It's the glory of God to do what? Conceal a thing, and the honor of kings to do what? And how does that apply to us? Because according to Revelations 1:6, he hath made us kings and priests, right? So God's concealed some awesome things in his word. And then with the feast, this is one of the things that God's concealed within these seven feasts. He's concealed his plan for the redemption of man and also the establishment of his kingdom. Another one of our verses I gave you was Amos 3:7. So what's the gist of that verse? It says, surely the Lord will do what? Nothing. Without first revealing that through his prophets. And I also gave you Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. And what's the gist of that? You can say it in a really simple few words. Since the beginning, he's declared the end, right? So all of these verses, you guys, if you really want to know what the end's going to be like, where do we need to go? Back to the beginning. And that's kind of what we're doing in this study. Also, I gave you three words. Does anybody remember the three words? Feast, convocations, and Sabbath. What does feast mean? Does anybody remember? And it's important to understand this in the context of the study. Why? When we think of the word feast, what do we think of? Food and kind of some celebration and a happy time and all that, right? Well, there's a lot that really takes place during these feasts, especially for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And some of them, if they weren't right, if they weren't repentant, if they weren't sober and really considering these things to be serious, the Bible says that they were cut off. And that's a pretty serious thing, and we'll look at that as we get into this study. So the word feast means, from the Hebrew word in which it came from, appointed time. So when we go through and look at these, God gave the nation of Israel seven feasts or seven appointed times for when God is going to do something as far as fulfilling His plan of redemption or the establishment of His kingdom. The next we saw in Leviticus 23, in verse 2, we saw that these feasts are holy convocations. Does anybody remember what that word convocation means? Rehearsal. So remember, and the thing that's really awesome when you stop and think about that, not only did God tell the Jews they need to understand these things, right? They didn't just go to the synagogue and get a message on the Passover. What did they do every year? They rehearsed it, right? Every one of these feasts, the Bible says in Leviticus 23:2, is a holy convocation. That word convocation means public rehearsal. So they rehearsed these feasts every year. They didn't just hear about them. They didn't just study them. They actually did them. Does that make sense? When the Passover came around, they actually got their lamb. They killed their lamb. They roasted that lamb. They did everything according to the way that God laid it out. And the next one we saw in Leviticus 23:3, because even before God gets in and lays out the seven feasts, He talks about working 6 days, and the seventh day is a day of rest. It's the Sabbath day. And that word Sabbath means what? Does anybody remember? There you go. And that's really awesome when you think about it in the context when we studied this last week, and I don't want to spend any time on this tonight because I don't want to use all of our time talking about this again. But in 2 Peter 3:8, Peter gives us the context for which God created the heavens and the earth. He did it in seven literal days, and then He observed the Sabbath, right? Because what He was doing was He was playing out this whole prophetic timeline. And then when He got to the Jews in Exodus 20, He gave them this as a commandment in the Ten Commandments to work 6 days and on the seventh day observe the Sabbath. It was a day of rest. And then Peter gets into 2 Peter 3:8 and says, a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years as a day. So that's where we got that prophetic timeline that we have about 4,000 years in the Old Testament, which would be about 4 days. 2,000 in the New Testament, which would be about 2 days. Would be 2 days. And then we got the 7-year tribulation. Then after that, we got the millennial reign of Christ. And how long is that? 1,000 years or 1 day. So you got 1 day, which is the Sabbath here. And you got 2 days. And you got 4 days. So you add all that together, and what do you have? 7 days. That's why, since the very beginning, God's declared the end, right? Since the very beginning, He laid out creation. Think about it, you guys. He could have said, let there be all these things in 1 day, right? But He chose to do it in 6 days. Because He was laying out a plan. And using that plan so that we could see that communicated all through His Word. And He had the Jews observe it even as part of the law. But here's where I'm going with that. And the reason it's important to understand this word Sabbath means intermission. Because when we get to the millennial reign of Christ, that Sabbath day, that day of rest, is that it? Is it over? No. It's just the intermission, right? Because after that, God creates a new heaven and a new earth, and He continues with all of eternity future with His plan that He's had ever since the very beginning for His creation. So that's why those three words are important to this study. Now, if you would look with me on page 4 of your outline, this is where we're going to pick it up tonight. And I'm going to try to go through this a little fast, because I think you'll see it more when we get into your Word, but I just want you to get to have the notes for your outline filled out. But on letter B, and this would be on page 4 of your outline. On letter B, the word that goes in the blank is holy convocations. Turn to Leviticus 23 with me. And And if you would, somebody, if you would for me, read. Let's read verses 1 through 3 and just get the context of where we are at this point. Would somebody read those verses? Okay, so it's important to understand that the weekly Sabbath, right? Work 6 days, that seventh day, that Sabbath day that the Jews observed every week, that Sabbath day is a holy convocation, right? It says that in Leviticus 23:3. Now, in the rest of the numbers there following that, I want you to see this. It says in Leviticus 23:6. In talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, let me see. Look with me in Leviticus 23:6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. And the first day ye shall have what? A holy convocation. So the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it too was a holy convocation. Now this might seem just like a lot of details, you guys, but when we get into this study, you're going to see that this is really important. Okay? So what's it mean when something's a holy convocation? What was important about that seventh day of the rest? Could the Jews do any work on that day? No. It was a holy convocation. So the holy convocations were observed exactly the same way as the Sabbath. Does that make sense? Because the Sabbath is a holy convocation. These feast days, some of them had holy convocations. So when that happened, even if the feast day happened on a Tuesday, guess what? It was observed as a Sabbath. And what happened on a Sabbath? What could they do? They couldn't do any work. And letter B in your outline, the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a holy convocation. And again, I'm not going to point all these out in the actual verses. The references are listed there. But on the Feast of Weeks, or it's called Pentecost in the New Testament, it's a holy convocation. The Feast of Trumpets is a holy convocation. The Feast of Atonement is a holy convocation. So you can see most every one of these seven feasts has a holy convocation associated with it, meaning whatever day that fell on, it was observed as a Sabbath. Okay? The Feast of Tabernacles. And I think if you'd look with me on the Feast of Tabernacles, letter A, it says the first day is a holy convocation, and the eighth day, it's kind of, I was thinking about that today, Brian, when you was talking about the number eight and the eighth day. It's kind of neat, because usually on all this stuff you see sevens, right? But all of a sudden on the Feast of Tabernacles, because that's the end when Christ is tabernacling with man and living here on this earth, that it's actually an eight-day feast. And on the eighth day, the new beginning, it's also a holy convocation. But I think I have the wrong reference in your notes. I have Leviticus 23:39, and if you would change that to Leviticus 23:36. Now, yeah, on number 6, letter B, it says the eighth day is a Sabbath. Say Leviticus, change it, Leviticus 23:36. Okay. Now letter C on your outline. All holy convocations were commemorated the same way, or the same as the weekly Sabbath. And number 1 says they were considered to be holy days, just like the weekly Sabbath. Look at number 2. What's the number 2 say? Can somebody read that for me on your outline? Uh-huh. Okay, so anytime that there is a holy convocation, it's just like the Sabbath, there's no work to be done. But there's something I want to point out. And if you would look with me at Leviticus 23:3, There are certain days, like on the weekly Sabbath, that it says what? It says it's a holy convocation. Ye shall do what? No work. But now look at Leviticus 23:7. It says, in the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no what? Servile work. Okay, so now there's a difference here. And here's what that difference is. Does anybody remember when the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness and God rained down manna? God told them that you're going to collect only the amount that you can eat for 6 days, right? That you don't collect more than what you can eat, right? Or actually on five of the days, because on the sixth day, they collected enough for 2 days. Why? Because on the weekly Sabbath, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't even prepare food, okay? But where it says no servile work, they could prepare food. Okay, no other work, but they could prepare food. And let me give you an example of that. The first day, the 14th of the first month, we're going to see when we get into the Passover, that was when they actually killed the lamb, was on the 14th. But you remember, their day starts at sundown and goes till sundown the next day. So the sundown after the 14th, by sundown, they killed their lamb. At sundown started the 15th day, right, of the month. That was the first day of unleavened bread, which is a holy convocation. No servile work could be done. Okay? But they roasted the lamb, and they ate the lamb. So on the times that it has a holy convocation, and you see where it says no servile work, that means they could do food preparation. Okay? But any other time, if it doesn't say, just like it in verse 3, Leviticus 23:3, where it says no work, it means no work. That's why in the wilderness, on the sixth day, they had to gather enough manna for 2 days, because that seventh day, they couldn't even do anything pertaining to food. Does that make sense? Okay. On letter D on your outline, this is down at the bottom of page 4. It says, all holy convocations are called Sabbath, or rest, or, what goes in the blank, a high Sabbath. And you guys, I have some things there in the blanks. And this is why this is important. All the notes that are listed here on the bottom of page 4 is why it's important. But we're going to cover that when we get into the Passover feast. So if you would, just bear with me for a minute, and I'll explain why. Because you're going to see why this is important to understand these holy convocations in conjunction with the Sabbath. Okay, so if you would now, I think it's on page 5 of your outline. You're going to see Roman numeral number 5. I think it's the next slide. Number 5 says, understanding the sequence or the significance of the sequence of the seven feasts of the Old Testament. The seven feasts that God ordained to be observed annually by His people are listed there. Number 1, 2, and 3, and 4 were all fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. Number 5, 6, and 7 will be fulfilled at His second coming. And as we get into this, you'll see that there's very significant meaning to even how these things are laid out. You can see there on the spring feast, the first four were all observed during the spring. And I think you even have this outline on your handout. And then the fall feast are the last three. Now you can see as we get into this, you'll understand this more, but Passover was really fulfilled by the death of Christ. Okay, the unleavened bread was fulfilled by His burial, the feast of first fruits, by His resurrection, and the giving of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled at the day of Pentecost. Like I said, all of those were fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. Now, see if I can make my pointer work. Just as between the spring and the fall, you have a gap of time, right? And it's really interesting, in the fulfillment of this prophecy, you got the first coming of Christ, a gap of time, and that gap of time is filled by, it's up there, the church. And then after that gap of time, the fall feast will be fulfilled at the second coming of Christ. And The Feast of Trumpets, you'll see, is the preparation for the Day of Atonement. Because the Day of Atonement, you guys, is a very serious time. When Christ comes back and sets foot on this earth, the Jewish people, there's a Day of Atonement that they're still yet to go through. And if they're not ready for this, not prepared for this, or if they don't take it serious, they're cut off for all of eternity. And that's on the Day of Atonement. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, once all of that is dealt with and the nation's subdued, Christ will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Okay, so there is even an incredible sequence or a significance to the sequence of these feasts of the Old Testament. The next thing in your outline is the calendar. Now, it's important because as we go through and try to understand some of these things, we always try to understand it just in our calendar and our timing, and it doesn't always work that way, right? We can't make God fit how we look at things. We need to try to understand. Remember, it's the glory of God to do what? Conceal a thing, and it's our honor to search these things out. So we need to understand, whoops, that, and this doesn't show up very good up there, does it? But, you know, when we observe Easter time, which is kind of the time of Passover, that it doesn't always fall within the same time frame that the Jewish people were celebrating these feasts, okay? So the very first month we're going to see was the month of Abib, according to the book of Exodus. And the reason I have Nisan written above it is you'll see when we get into the study, when they went into captivity in Babylon, they changed all the names of their month according to the Babylonian language. And even in the book of Numbers, you'll see that the word Nisan is used, even though God called it Abib in the book of Exodus. Okay? So all of the names of the months, because Tammuz, who's Tammuz? Anybody know? Does anybody know who Tammuz is? I mean, because that's one of the names of the month. It's Nimrod's son. Okay, so all of these are Babylonian names up here except for Abib. Okay? But what I want you to understand is this: the very first month, God, when we go through the Exodus, in Exodus chapter 12, you're going to see that God says, this is the first month to you. I mean, they'd been living according to the Egyptian calendar and everything else, but God's taken them out of their land. He's delivered them, right? And He said, this is the first month. Okay? So God's calling the calendar time. So it's the very first month. And Passover, unleavened bread, and the Feast of First Fruits are just filled pretty much consecutively. Boom, 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 okay? Then you got the Feast of Pentecost that's fulfilled 50 days later. And then in the seventh month, there's that seven again, right? In the seventh month of the Jewish religious calendar, you have the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonements, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, something that's kind of just interesting about this, and if you'll look at letter B on your outline, this is at the bottom of page 6. I'm sorry, top of page 6. Yeah. The word that goes in the blank is the seven feasts of the Old Testament were commemorated according to the Jewish religious calendar. And the reason I put religious calendar on there, the Jews really operate off two calendars. One is the religious calendar, and the other is a civil calendar. Now, even there's something kind of neat to really even think about that, and that's in your notes as well. The religious calendar starts with Nisan, or Abib, according to God in the book of Exodus, at which time the spiritual kingdom was established during the first coming of Christ, right? Because that's when Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And then Pentecost, that established the spiritual kingdom. Is everybody following me? So that's the religious calendar, the spiritual calendar, so to speak. Does that make sense? But the Jewish people also have a civil calendar. And in fact, does anybody know when the Jewish New Year is? Anybody? It's in the fall of the year. It's in like September. Okay. So they actually have another calendar. Even though in Exodus, God said, Abib is your very first month, the Jews, on their governmental, their civil calendar, they actually have a Jewish New Year, okay? But here's the really cool thing, if you stop and think about that. The spiritual kingdom being established during the first coming of Christ, then what's going to be established at His second coming? His government, right? He's going to establish His kingdom. right? And he's going to reign on this earth. So it's even kind of just awesome to think about, even though the Jews probably didn't really think about that when they implemented their own civil calendar and had their own Jewish New Year. God's going to implement, he's going to set up his kingdom about that same time. Okay, so number two on your outline says six of the seven feasts were commemorated at the first in the first month and the seventh month of the religious calendar. Letter C on your outline, it says the seven feasts of the Old Testament were commemorated in conjunction with the harvest cycles. The spring harvest cycle fulfilled the were fulfilled in the, what goes in the blank is the first coming of Christ. And number two, the fall harvest cycle will be fulfilled at the second coming of Christ. The space of time, this is number three, the space of time between the spring feast and the fall feast declares the space of time between the first coming and second coming of Christ. And the space of time was fulfilled by the church age, which was not revealed to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Okay. Now that just, in that introduction, or those first few pages that we filled out, really that's all kind of just an introduction, I think, that'll help you as we go through this study. And it's things that we're going to refer to as we continue to go on, okay? But does anybody have any questions on those? Any blanks I didn't get filled in? Okay. Is there one on B? I'm sorry. Yeah, the church age. The space of time between the spring feast and the fall feast declares the time between the first coming and second coming of Christ on letter A. And letter B, the space of time was fulfilled by the church age is what goes in the blank. Okay. Is everybody still? Uh-huh.
The Jewish civil calendar, mm-hmm. Is it an established date or is it dependent upon?
I think so. Does anybody know for sure on the civil calendar? Isn't it always September 1st? Or that's? I'll find out for you, Larry, and let you know next. No, really, I think it is, but I don't know if now I'm just confusing it with. But they have a civil calendar and a Jewish New Year every fall, and I think it's the. I don't know if it's the first day or for some reason it doesn't seem like it's always on the first day. I don't know why, but I'll have to check into that and let you know. Okay. Do you have a pen, Tim? Okay. And if you'll look with me on page 7 of your notes, tonight we're actually going to get into the Feast of Passover. So turn to Leviticus chapter 23. And in Leviticus 23, would somebody read for us verses 4 and 5?
These are the feasts of the Lord and the Lord's congregations. You shall proclaim in the season.
Okay. So the first feast observed was the Lord's Passover, okay? And now, even though every one of these feasts are listed in Leviticus chapter 23, we can usually get a lot more information about how they were observed when they were actually observed in the Word. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to see the very first time that God had the nation of Israel observe the Feast of Passover. So if you look at letter A on your outline, it says the first Passover observed was on the eve of the Exodus. And so what goes in the blank is Exodus in Exodus 12. And number one, underneath that it says called Passover. Why was it called Passover? Because the Lord passed over. What was going on that night? There's a lot of people getting killed, wasn't there? So it's called Passover because the Lord passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt on the night that the firstborn in Egypt died. So let's look in Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to see this event that took place. Look in verses 26 and 27. Would somebody read those two verses?
And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped.
Okay. So you can see right there, God explained. I mean, he said, when the children of Israel ask you, why are you doing this? He said, tell them, this is why we're doing this. I mean, historically, you guys, these feasts, every one of these feasts really looked to a time in the past. Like the Feast of Passover, they were to remember that God delivered them from their bondage in Egypt, but it also appointed them to a time in the future when Christ would fulfill these things as well. Okay, so let's look, number two. It says the Exodus took place in the first month of the Jewish calendar. Let's look at Exodus 12:2. And let's just even back up to 12:1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, right? The month that I'm getting ready to take you out of the land of Egypt, this month shall be unto you the what? The beginning of month. So I don't care what number of month you're in according to the Egyptian calendar, right? To you, this month is the first month. Okay? God declared that. Now, look on number 3 and actually just flip over to chapter 13. Because the death angel already come through, and we'll go back to 12. We're not done with 12 and the Passover and stuff. But the next day, when God was delivering them out of Egypt, after the death angel had come through and killed the firstborn of Egypt, look in Exodus 13. Let's start in verse 2 and then we'll do verse 3. Or actually, we'll start in 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month, what? Abib. Okay, so that's where I got that on that calendar up there, right? But it really, and when we get farther along in the study at some point, I think I point this out, you can see when they were in their Babylonian captivity that they took over the calendar names for the from Babylon. But God called the very first month Abib, and there's a reason that that's important. When we get to the Feast of First Fruits, I think you'll understand. Okay, so I even point that out, that in small letter A, that they took on the Babylonian names. Letter B, big letter B, it says the central focus of the Feast of Passover was the sacrifice of the Passover what? So see, I didn't even have to tell you what goes in the blank, did I? Was the Passover lamb. I mean, could you imagine every year walking out and grabbing something that looked that precious and killing it? But you know why, you guys? Think about it. Why did God have them do that? Yeah, innocent, right? Yeah, Christ was the perfect innocent lamb. I mean, he didn't do anything. He didn't commit any sin. And yet he had to die because of our sin. Just like that little lamb, or a lot of little lambs over the years, had to die to picture Christ that would come and be the Lamb of God. Okay, so did everybody get that in their blank on big letter B? It says the central focus of the Feast of Passover was the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. Okay. Now, let's flip back to Exodus chapter 12 and start seeing some of the details about this feast. Look in Exodus 12, verse 3. Would somebody read that for me? Okay, and so you're going to see some very specific things, you guys. God's very specific, isn't he? Did God just tell him someday in the first month, just go out and whatever day you want to go out, pick a lamb and that'll be the lamb you'll sacrifice? Is that what God said? No. He gave him a very specific day of the month, didn't he? Okay, he said on what day? On the... Oops, that didn't work. On the 10th day. And they had to do what on the 10th day? They had to pick their lamb, didn't they? This chew's got two O's. Sure to say it didn't look right. Okay. So on the 10th day they had to choose a lamb. That's what goes in the blank. Did everybody get that filled in on number one? The lamb was to be chosen on the 10th day of the first month. After choosing the lamb, it was observed for 4 days to ensure that it was without blemish. Look at verses 5 through 6. How about somebody read those for me? Exodus chapter 12, verses 5 and 6.
Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Then you shall offer it as a burnt offering for a fourteenth day of the same month.
Okay, again, God's very specific, isn't he? So they had to pick it. They had to observe it for 4 days. Why did they have to observe it for 4 days? Yeah, they didn't want any gimpy little lambs or any lambs that didn't act right, right? Why? Why was it important that this lamb was perfect? Because it represented Christ. Okay? And then after they observed it for 4 days... On that 14th day, they did what? They killed it. Okay. Now look in Exodus 12, verse 6. We're going to skip down to number 3 on your outline. It says, the lamb was to be sacrificed in the evening... Before the end of the 14th day, keep in mind, the Jewish day ran from what? Sundown to sundown, right? So it started, the 14th day started at sundown, and by the end of the 14th day, the sun, before the sun went down the next day, that lamb was to be killed. Number 3 on your outline. Oh, I just said that, didn't I? Number, everybody got number 3 filled out, the blank? Okay. And number 4... It says the entire congregation of Israel was to what? Look at the end of verse 5. No, I'm sorry. The end of verse 6. It says the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, what? Shall kill it. So the entire congregation of Israel participated in the killing of the lamb in Exodus 12:6. Number 5 in your outline. What were they to do with that blood? The blood of the lamb was to be placed on the two sides post and the upper post of each house that participated in the Passover. Let's look at Exodus 12:7. It says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. Okay, the blood, look at Exodus 12:13. It says, and the blood shall be what? To you a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So small letter A underneath number 5, that blood was a token. Letter B says the firstborn of those who had the blood of the lamb on their doorposts were spared. And let's look at Exodus 12:10. And let's somebody read what they had to do with that lamb. In Exodus 12:10. Actually, let's go back and read 9 and 10.
Eat not of the raw or sodden at all with water roasted with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and
that which remaineth of it until the morning he shall burn with fire.
Okay. So they were to eat that lamb. They were to eat all of it, right? They were to roast all of it. The head, the legs, the pertinence. The pertinence actually means, that word means everything in the middle, right? So everything about that lamb was to be roasted and eaten, and nothing was to be left. And if there was any left over, what were they to do? Burn it. So number six in your outline, it says that lamb was totally consumed, is the word that goes in the blank, the night of the 15th day, according to Exodus 12:10. And look down at Exodus 12:46. And it says, "In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye" what? "Break a bone thereof." So there wasn't a bone broken of this lamb. And that's what goes in the blank on number seven, where it says, "Not a bone of the lamb was to be broken." You guys, I'm out of time again. So, do you want me to go for a few more minutes, or you want to go ahead and wrap it up now, or what? Okay. Let me go for a few more minutes, because what I want you to see is, and I know I went through those things kind of quickly, but I want you to see that God was very specific with this Passover lamb. He's like, you have to choose a lamb on the 10th day. You have to observe it and make sure that it's perfect. And then you kill it on the 14th day before evening, right? And then you roast it, and you roast all of it, and then you eat it all. And if there's any left over, you burn it with fire. You don't break the legs. I mean, he was very specific with all these things. Why? Yeah, but yeah, because it represented his death. Guess what, you guys? Christ fulfilled every one of these things. Every one of these things. That's really the awesome thing to think about this. And you guys, this is where I kind of got into talking about the holy convocations and all these things really being important. Because if you'll look on your outline, where it says Roman numeral number 2 on page 8, it says the Passover feast declaring the future. The crucifixion of Christ took place during the time of Passover. The events related to the crucifixion were fulfilled just as God ordained for the Passover in Exodus. And I put this chart on there, and it's probably complicated. It's probably maybe hard to see, and I apologize for that. I hope you can read. Maybe you'll need a magnifying glass to see everything that goes in the blank. But all of these things are really important. And here's why I want to point some of this stuff out with you in what time I have left tonight. Because when does Christianity tell you Christ was died on the cross? And we call that what? We call that Good Friday, right? What's the problem with that? Does anybody know? Or is everybody okay with that? When did Christ raise from the dead according to the Bible? The first day of the week. That's what it says in the Bible, right? Which is what day of the week? According to our schedule, I mean, that'd be what? Sunday, right? So Sunday, so if he rose on Sunday, so if he died on the cross on Friday and by evening Friday night was taken down, put in the grave, and was in the grave Saturday and rose on Sunday, how many days is that? Two. So there's a problem with that, isn't it? But you guys, all of Christianity said that he died on Good Friday. I mean, this is the holy day, right? But it's not. And that's why God was very specific on all those days and what month it happened in and what day of the month all those things took place. And if you'll look with me real quick, and I'll just stop with this chart on page 8, but go with me to John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. Can somebody read that for me? It says in John chapter 1, verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold what? The Lamb of God." So we're talking about the Passover lamb, right? This is the time of Passover, right? When the lamb was killed. John understood what was going on. John, when he saw Jesus, he knew that he was coming to fulfill what the Jews had rehearsed since God gave them this commandment to observe the Passover and all these feasts. They rehearsed these feasts. John understood that, and he said, look, here's the lamb which taketh away the sins of the world. So number one on your outline, it says, Christ entered, or no, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, we're not there yet. Now, what I want you to see is when Christ entered Jerusalem, turn to John chapter 12. And maybe I'm just kind of a simple guy, but these things just knock my socks off, you guys. Because in John chapter 12, we're dealing with the Passover time at the crucifixion, okay? And when we see in John chapter 12, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came into Bethany, right? So we're 6 days out, right? Before the Passover. Now you got to keep in mind that very specific instructions on what day to kill the lamb, right? And that lamb was to be killed on the 14th day. So you can go the 14th day and go backwards 6 days and know what day John was talking about, right? Okay. So it's the 6th day. And look at number one on your outline. It says, Christ entered Jerusalem the day the Passover lamb was to be chosen. So let's look at these things. John 12:1 establishes the chapter as 6 days before the Passover. Underneath that it says, during Bible times, the Jewish days were from sunset to sunset. So 6 days before the Passover meal would have been on Nisan 9. Okay? Or Saturday. So this was Saturday before the crucifixion. Okay? Now look at letter B on your outline. John 12:12 establishes the time as what? Look at John 12:12. On the what?
Next day.
So that's what goes in the blank. John 12:12 establishes the time as the next day. This is the day following what John said or what was said in John chapter 12:1. So this would have been Nisan 10. Now, what happened on Nisan 10? According to Exodus, on the 10th day, they chose their lamb, right? Does anybody know what happened on that day? You know what, you guys, I'm going to speed this up and I'll go through this a little bit more, but I want you to have this to think about it until we get back next week. On that next day, on the 10th, this is the day, or let me, the second bullet point says this would have been Nisan 10, which was the day the Passover lamb was to be selected according to Exodus 12:3. Exactly. Okay. Now look at small letter C on your outline. It says, Christ presented himself to the nation of Israel as the humble lamb of God on Nisan 10. When he rode into Jerusalem, what do we call that day? Does anybody know? Christianity calls that day Palm Sunday. You know, and when we were in Brazil, that was a big day in Brazil. I mean, they'd go marching down the streets and waving palms. And you know, it was a great celebration. But you guys, it wasn't such a great celebration. He rode in on a donkey, right? And he offered himself as the humble lamb. It wasn't a triumphal entry. I mean, he didn't come in on the white horse. He was offering himself as the humble lamb of God to sacrifice himself for the sins of man, right? And everybody said, oh, it's Hosanna. Let's make him king over us, right? They wanted to make him king. They knew he raised Lazarus from the dead. They knew he did all these miracles. They didn't want to be under Roman occupation anymore. So they wanted to make him king. But guess what? They forgot what they rehearsed. They forgot all about the sequence of all these things. Before the king was going to be on the throne, the lamb had to die. Right? And that's what's so cool, because when he came in, you guys, look at me with me real quick. Look in Matthew 21 verses, and no, I think it's in Luke. Look with me in Luke 19. It has there on letter B in your outline, all of those, Matthew 21, 9 through 11, Mark 11, 8 through 10, Luke 19, 35 through 38, and John 12, 12 through 13. Those are all the triumphal entry, what we call Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. That was Palm Sunday. That was Him offering Himself on the 10th day as the Lamb of God. Okay? But I want you to see something in Luke chapter 19. If somebody is already there in verses 35 through 38, would you read those for me?
And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.
I mean, so they're like, hey, blessed be the King, right? But look what happens. Look what Jesus does. Look in verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and what? I mean, this isn't somebody going, oh, my people are receiving me as king, right? Why? Because he knew he had to die first, right? He couldn't. What if he was going to be their king and they still died in their sins? What good would that be? And he what? When he saw all these things, and you guys, he wept. Palm Sunday is not some awesome Christian celebration. It's a sad day. God's Jewish people missed him that day, offering himself as the Lamb of God. And we need to understand that. So, with that in mind, if you know that, that he entered on the 10th day, and I'm going to just leave it here, you guys, because I'm already... If you just look at that grid that I gave you, and we'll go through this in more detail next week, you guys, then it makes sense, because then he died on Thursday, which was the 14th day. Then, when we get into these feasts, and you see, after he died and was taken down, you remember they had to get him off the cross really quick because the next day was a high day, right? That wasn't the weekly Sabbath. That was the first day of unleavened bread. So you got Thursday, he died on the cross. Then you got, by evening time, he had to be buried and in the grave because this started a holy day on Friday, and no civil work could be done, so they couldn't deal with the body, and that was Friday. And then at evening here started the weekly Sabbath, right? Which was Saturday. I can't spell anymore. And then you have the third day, which was Sunday. That's why they couldn't get to him. Remember, the women went to the very first day they could go to the grave to prepare the body was 2 days later. That was the first day of the week. And you guys, because they had back-to-back holy days that prevented them from going. So not only did he fulfill the Lamb of God, he fulfilled the dates. He was the perfect Lamb. And when we go through the rest of these points, you'll see that just as that Lamb was totally consumed, his life was totally consumed upon that cross, and not a bone was broken. Every one of those things in Exodus 12 about that Lamb was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Any other questions? I'm sorry, I get to talking too fast, don't I? So, okay, well, let's go ahead and close the word of prayer, and then we'll... Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't... I'm sorry, because I was going kind of quick through there. I apologize. It says Christ entered Jerusalem was to be... What did I have on that? Oh, yeah, chosen. The Lamb was to be chosen. And then it says John 12:1 establishes the chapter as 6 days before the Passover. And John 12:12, this is small letter B. Does everybody get that? John 12:12 is the next day. So that gets us to Nisan 10, and that was Palm Sunday. That's what we consider to be Palm Sunday. That was his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They would have made him as king, but they rejected him as their savior. So any questions? Okay, you guys. Well, let's go ahead and close in word of prayer, and we'll get to the prayer meeting time. And thank you guys for letting me run over. Dear Heavenly Lord, Father God, again, I just stand in awe. I hope everybody does too, of you and your word. And it's just incredible, Lord, to see these things. That we know you're the Lamb. We know that John the Baptist declared that you were the Lamb. And we know that you were perfect and without spot and all those things. But God, when we really get down to the nuts and bolts of this and see even the dates and even to see your entry into Jerusalem and to understand why you wept over the city that day, even though those people were jubilant and excited and shouting that here you come as king. God, I know that you know that they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's a sad day, and it really truly was a sad day in the nation of Israel's time. But God, I just thank you for this truth. I thank you for giving these things in your word and just making your word come alive to us. And just ask that you continue to bless this time in this study and help us to see just how since the very beginning you have declared the end so that your people could walk through this earth and know exactly where we are in your prophetic timeline. And God, we just love you and thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Gosh, when I write on the whiteboard, it's probably more of a hindrance than it's a help, huh? It's kind of sloppy.
Tonight, let's take some... How many of you went out to the streets? Anybody? Was it good? Where'd you go? Oh, you're local.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, we went to Willow Lane.